When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business.
We hope today's edition of The Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat this morning, and our guest this morning is Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm blessed. I'm so glad to be with y'all this morning.
It's good to see you.
It's good to see
and
you.
Happy New Year.
Same to you. It's a great new year.
It is.
2024.
Yes.
How do you think? Is it 2025? What are we in? I always forget.
It's
2024. I know. That's crazy. Eight means new beginning.
Oh, okay. It does?
Yep.
Oh.
New beginning of 2024.
Oh, awesome. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I love it.
It's good to see you this morning.
It's good to be here. It's good to see you in the driver's seat.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us. You can email it to ourpower32@gmail.com. You can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. See, we were talking about changes.
Yes.
And we don't have the text line right now. So
okay. You got to, like, everything shifts when you don't, when everything's changing. It's like, oh, okay, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm used to saying three ways.
Yeah, that's so, right.
Yeah. Sorry if I sound stuttery.
Just a new path. That's all.
We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all of your items. Please like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. And I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray
you
to start
great.
Us out?
Yes. Awesome. All right. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to just be here in your presence. God, we thank you that, Father, you have a word to go forth today. Father, I thank you that it is a right now word, fitly spoken in due season. Father, it is the word that, God, is in your heart. And, Father, we ask you to birth that thing right now in this place, that you bring forth what you want to say to us, your people. God, we long to hear from you. And so, Father, we just trust in you. We're listening to you. And, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've come to do the work of the Father in the earth. And so, Holy Spirit, we just say, come and be Lord, have your way in this place, do the Father's will today. Tune our ears to hear. So, Father, right now, we just bless the people because you've called us to even be people who bless others. So we bless each and every one of us to have open ears to hear and receive the word today. We bless the people with open hearts that every good word of God would fall on the good soil of the heart, and that it would bear and bring forth fruit hundredfold for the kingdom of God. We bind up every work of the devil that would come against the ministry today, that would come against God's work today. And we silence the enemy and say, you will have no place in this. We loose the presence of God, the power of God, and Holy Spirit to go his way and do the work God sent him to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 I like your title, and I'm excited.
Yes.
Fulfilling his call for your life.
Amen. Fulfilling his call for your life. You know, when I think about the new year, we tend to get very, I guess maybe, I don't even know if this is a word, but reflective. Mm-hmm. We start reflecting on where we've been and where we're going. We kind of, it's really like a time of examining and saying, where did I start last year and where did I end? I always do that. And just saying, did I get off target? Did I continue to go in the path the Lord wanted? Did I stay in step with the Spirit, you know? And so a lot of times it's about stepping into the new, the unfamiliar. And I was just talking with Sister Tina, and we were just talking about how everything's weird right now. Mm-hmm. It's like everything's changing. And so I was telling her, you know, we're moving into a new house, and my oldest son and his wife, they moved out and moved back into an apartment. These are all good things, but they're change. And I don't know about y'all, but I'm not a big fan of change.
Mm-mm.
So I tend to like to stay the same, okay? I know this is, I love the excitement of the new, but I tend to shrink back a little bit from unfamiliar. I literally had to take a new path to get here today, okay? And I've been on the road before, but it still was like, this isn't my normal way, okay? And I like familiar. And then I came into fog, and I was like, now I can't even see, okay? Oh. So it's just like, everything is different. And so I think when we come into a new year, it's even that way. There's excitement, mm-hmm. but there's also some, I guess, some hesitation. It's unfamiliar. We don't know what the new year brings. But it was like I heard the Lord say, Tammy, I'm the one thing that stays constant in your life always. I'm the one thing. And so cling to him, not the old things, not the new things, but to him. And so I want to just read this passage real quick, Isaiah 43:19. I read it yesterday at church. It was the Lord gave this passage to me as I was about to walk into the church building. And I said, okay, Lord, Isaiah 43:19. And in fact, sister, he didn't even hardly give me, he didn't give me a word for yesterday. I was like, Lord, it's the first day of the year, like as far as like the word Sunday morning, you know? And it was like, what am I going to have? And it was like, I mean, I could take anything, right? He'd given me things in my spirit, man, that he's been speaking to me about, but what was the right now word? I had nothing. I was like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to go and trust you, you know? So I was on my way and he gave me this passage, and then he gave me another passage, Psalm 34, and literally, I'm not kidding you, I stepped into the building with those two passages. I knew what Isaiah 43:19 was, but I couldn't fully remember what Psalm 34 was. I didn't even know till I opened it up as I stood up on the pulpit and opened it. Did you find something? Yeah. Isaiah 43:19.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was the passage in the verse of the day on the Bible app.
It is. It is, because I preached this yesterday, and then one of the men of God from the house, he texted me this morning and said, guess what passage is on this morning? And I said, well, that's God, right?
Yeah.
He's saying something here. Mm-hmm. And so I want to just read this, because it even ties into what we're going to talk about, but God just keeps putting this scripture on my heart. And so as I got up there at the pulpit, I hadn't even opened up Psalm 34. I opened it up blindly. I said, the Lord said, go to Psalm 34. And so some people may live like this, and there are times I do, but it's unfamiliar, because we like to have structure. We like to have everything, or I do. Mm-hmm. I like to have everything laid out for me. When it comes to fulfilling his will and his call for our life, not everything is laid out. See, we just get pieces of it, right? And I think part of that is because if you knew the whole thing, you might not do it. Mm-hmm. It's not because it's not good and great. It's because it's at times terrifying. It's going to cause you to have to go to places you didn't know that you would go to. Mm-hmm. You didn't know these paths. You're not familiar with this. It really evokes that uneasiness in us, because we like the familiar. Okay, so let's look. In fact, we'll look back at 18, Isaiah 43:18. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay. Now we know that God has us at times remember the former things, but there is also a time when it's not good. Okay. There are times that we find ourselves getting stuck in a rut, and we stay in the same paths because they're familiar. And when we are pushed into a new place, we always think about the old days, right? Mm-hmm. But God said, don't think about that. He said, I've got a new thing planned for you. And so I think a lot of times I find myself, just as today I was driving over here, I was like, Tammy, you got to hold it together. I was literally starting to cry, because there was this place of like, I like my home that I was in. Not that I don't like the new place I am, but it's like, there's so much tied to that. So a lot of times with our past, it can be one of two things. It can be a place where we hang on to because we cherish and treasure it, but that can actually keep us from God's purpose in our life. Mm-hmm. See, we can get in a place where we're clinging to something that I've learned, if you hold on to, God's already moved on to the new thing and you're stuck in a dead place. Because what happens is that place now God has moved on from, and you're in a place where he's not, and he's the life. And so if you don't go with him, what you'll find is that place that you treasured will become a burden to you. It will become a place of heaviness. It will become a place of dead things. All of a sudden, there'll be no life in it because it doesn't work anymore. This is how religion takes place, okay? So a lot of times when you see churches get stuck in dead religion, it's simply because what God was doing in that season, when it was flourishing, right? It was flourishing because God was in that moment. And we love that, okay? But what happens is we make an idol out of it. So then God goes on to the new thing. Why? Because man has a tendency to try to find a pattern and stick to it. So we don't need God. See, we become so familiar with that place that we don't need God anymore. We know we come in and we do this, we do that, we say this, we say that, and everything happens and it's wonderful. And we made a method out of something that God was actually teaching us to follow him. Mm-hmm. And now he's moved on and we're sticking to something that isn't working anymore. It isn't working. There's no life there. Let me say this. Where there is life, people will come. I want you to understand, think about in the ancient times, where there was a well, people were drawn to. It didn't matter. Where there was water flowing, they came. They heard about a well, and they went. See, God is doing a new thing in this hour, and I believe a lot of times the body is, we resist the new thing. And I really believe, sister, he's doing a new thing in the church. And I believe that many are trying to resist it. Because we love the old way, and it was a great way because God was in it. But when he shifts, if we don't move with him, we will find ourselves stuck in a religion. And so this morning, as I was coming, I was getting emotional because our hearts get tied to something that was very valuable. But the reason it had value was because God was in it. So when he moves, we've got to go. But there's another reason we tend to stay in the old path. The other reason we can get stuck in that place is because he said, remember not the former things, because sometimes those things were places that were not healthy for us. They were not good for us. And we can find ourselves stuck just beating ourselves up in this old path, like where our shame and our guilt and our condemnation is. And so we feel like we almost got to make ourselves pay. So he said, let those things go. He said, let them go and go with me to the new place. He said, go to the new thing with me. And so who is it that you're after? What is it that you're after? Who is it that you're pursuing? Are you pursuing your God, or are you pursuing the one true God? Okay. See, sometimes we can get stuck pursuing a God that we've built ourselves. Did the Egyptians not, the Israelites do this when they came out of Egypt? They begin to build their own gods. See, they said, well, we wish we could have went back to Egypt. At least we could have stayed there, and you brought us out here to die. You know, but at least back there we had food and all that, and we might have been slaves, but we liked all the things that we did have in Egypt. And now we're stuck out here in a wilderness, and we don't like this place. And so a lot of times, what is the new thing we resist? Let me tell you, if you're going to fulfill his call for your life, You are going to have to let go of former things. You're going to have to come out of your comfort zone and step into places that are unfamiliar. And you've got to learn to cling to God, not a way of life, not a home, not a job, not people. You're going to have to cling to him. He will be the constant in your life, okay? The only way we can fulfill our call is to follow him. Okay, so as we look at that, he says, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness, and I'm going to make rivers in the desert. So what I want you to do is, I want to tell you that God is doing a new thing. So encourage yourself in this season to not go back because you're uncomfortable. Okay, trust him in the process. And so a wilderness is a place that is uninhabited. Okay, A lot of times he's calling us to places that it seems like nothing's been done in this place. It's uncomfortable. It's not home. It doesn't feel familiar. But he said, I'm going to make a way in the wilderness. Okay. In the wilderness, no one's even cultivated the land. There's no road. Okay. In the wilderness, it just looks like just wilderness. There is no path in the wilderness. But God said, I'm going to do a new thing. I will make a path in this wilderness for you. I don't know where you find yourself. Sometimes we feel like we're stuck in this place where we're going around the same mountain over and over again. But God said, hey, take heart. I'm about to do a new thing. And right now, I want to encourage you. He's making a way. You may not see it yet because there may be some fog, but he's making a way. I want you to know he's doing something that is impossible apart from God. See, you're in a place right now that it seems impossible to find a way out. But God said, I'm doing it right now. So take heart. God is doing it. He said, I'll make rivers in the desert. See, there should not be rivers in a desert. In fact, when there's rivers in a desert, it changes the entire landscape. See, God is doing something that's going to change your entire environment. I want you to understand, you are in a place where God is not necessarily taking you out. He's bringing life in, okay? He will, at times, make a way where you can get out, but at times, he'll make life right where you're at. So I don't know where you're at. God may be calling you out, and God may be calling you to stay. But what I want you to do is hang on to God, because where you are right now matters if you're going to fulfill your call. Okay, so let's begin to talk about fulfilling his call. I want to look at John 6:38. John 6:38, Jesus is talking. And as Jesus begins to talk, he's talking to the disciples here. And he begins to talk to them and tell them just about God's purpose, okay? He's talking to, I think even the Pharisees are around at this point. But he says, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, there's a passage where Jesus begins to talk about God's will. And he begins to say, at the end of his life, he begins to say, I have fulfilled your will. The work that you gave me to do, I finished, God. Now, each and every one of us have been given assignments, if you want to say. God has a will and a purpose for each and every person. Now, what I want you to do is, number one, grab a hold of this. If you're taking notes, take it. It is his call and his purpose, his destiny for your life that you're going to fulfill. A lot of times we get wrapped up, and I've been guilty of it, and you'll even hear me say it at times here. We think, what is my call? What is my destiny? What is my purpose? That becomes self-centered. But when I begin to focus on I'm fulfilling his call for my life, his destiny, and his purpose for my life, now I become Christ-centered, God-centered, okay? So I want you to focus on, God, what is your call for my life? What is your purpose for my life? Sometimes we're praying, what is my calling? What is my purpose? And I know they can be interchangeable almost, but the shifting of the word, the verbiage, will actually shift your mindset. This is not about us. It's about him. We're fulfilling his purpose, his call, and his destiny. Jesus even said it. I came to do the Father's will, not my own. And so he came to fulfill God's work, not his own. Paul said it. Paul even said it. He was called to be an apostle. He was called to fulfill God's work. And you'll see it in throughout Scripture. Paul even says it. It's his call for my life, okay? So as we move forward in this, I first want to just get that right out of the way, okay? So that we can understand that this is his calling and this is his purpose. And so sometimes, like I said, we can get stuck and we can find ourselves going nowhere. It's like, God, I want to fulfill your purpose for my life, but I don't know what it is. See, sometimes we just find ourselves feeling that way. And I felt like that many years. First of all, I want to say, ask him. Begin to ask him to cause you to walk in his will. Cause you to know what his purpose and his destiny is for you. I believe he gives us portions of it, okay? I believe we get little pieces along the way. I did not know when I first started walking with God that I was going to be called to pastor. Now, what's interesting is that my mother told me after I was pastoring that there were many people who had spoke over my life, I would be a pastor. Now, I didn't know this. She never told me this. I thought, well, that would have helped, you know. But for whatever reason, she didn't tell me. But there, really what it became was a confirmation, so that when God began to speak to me about it, now it was confirmation. And so so I didn't know that at the time. You don't always know what God's going to call you to do. I believe that I'm not the fulfillment of what God's calling me to do, okay? It's a portion and a part in his calling for my life, okay? And so, but a lot of times it's like we feel stuck. We don't know what our calling is. We don't know. And it's almost like this, our purpose and our destiny, or his purpose and destiny for our life, becomes this elusive thing. Almost like this thing we can never really grab a hold of. It's like always just right outside of our grasp. It's like we're trying to get it. And so a lot of times we can't seem to find it. But what I want to say is that God is our purpose and destiny, period. So pursue him and everything else will fall into place. So many times we're pursuing his purpose and destiny for our life when we should be pursuing him, and all of that will take place. See, get centered this year on just seeking God's face, seeking him, pursuing him with all your heart. I assure you, you will begin to walk in your purpose and destiny as you do that. Okay, so let me say this as we jump into this. I had to give a warning because we're starting a leadership series on Wednesday night, and so we started it last week. And actually, I used this message to as the first one. The Lord had given it to me for that. But let me say this: as I shared it, I said, "Listen, there's a warning about this because this is a meteor topic." My husband thought I meant meteor shower, you know. I was like meat, to eat, okay? It's meatier. It is one of those things you sometimes have to chew on, right? It's not the milk of the word. What I mean by that is if we're going to talk about fulfilling our purpose and we're going to talk about that, that means we're going to be leading in some capacity. And I'm going to break this down and you'll understand. But leaders are called, and every one of us, I believe, are called to lead, okay? And so you'll see this as we go along. But leaders are called to a higher standard, okay? So we have to sometimes take in the meteor, the things we got to chew on. We can't just, it's not always going to be just the pleasant milk, right? It's sometimes going to be what we got to chew on. So today, there may be some things that stretch you. There may be some things that press you. But this is all for your good, child of God. We got to be stretched if we're going to grow, amen? There has to, our body, let me say it like this. Do you know naturally our bodies begin to pull us, okay? They begin to stretch us. Our bones begin to grow, okay? I don't make them grow. They start growing on their own because God created it that way. And guess what happens? When that takes place, I start having pain, okay? Because I'm not doing it. My body's naturally doing it, and I can't stop it. It is literally causing me to grow. And so the things that we're going to talk about a little bit today may cause some uncomfortableness, okay? But don't resist it. Embrace it, okay? Because if you want to fulfill his purpose for your life and his destiny, his calling for your life, it's going to stretch you. You're going to mature. You're going to grow. And that comes with growing pains, okay? So let's just jump into that. as we get into that, what time do we need to stop for prayer, you think? Okay. Okay, perfect. Okay, sorry. I've had a cough for a while. Okay, so what I want to say, you know what? That'd be great. Thank you, sweetie. You are so sweet. I appreciate it. Okay, so you may say, hey, I'm not a leader, but I say, yes, you are. Everybody is a leader in some capacity, and let me explain. Look at that. That's my alarm clock. Keeping myself in tune and ready at all times. I got like 15,000 alarms, okay? And now I don't even know what my alarms are for because it's like I got too many alarms going off. I'm like, people look at it and they go, it's time for tea. I'm like, it's just what it says, okay? It was on there before. Okay, so when we talk about leading, Let me say this. There's always someone looking at you. Now, we're always going to be leading in some capacity as we grow, okay? So God is calling you to lead well. So what I want to say to you is that a leader influences others, okay? Let me say this. We all are in different places in our life, and so we're going to be leading in different capacities. I'm leading in a church, but at the same time, I'm leading in my children's lives, okay? You may be leading on the job. There are places that you lead, okay? So I don't know who you're influencing right now, but there's someone looking to you. And when someone is looking to you, now you have become a leader. Whether you take that and actually walk it out or not, it's happening. You are leading someone, whether you're leading them in the wrong direction or leading them in the right direction. We are leading. We're influencing, okay? So all that to say, let me say, if you want to fulfill his call for your life, wherever you find yourself right now, I don't know, think about where you're at in life. Wherever you are in life right now, God is calling you to lead well right now. See, you're not going to the next place until you finish leading well in this place. You can go ahead and bust the door open to the next place, but what happens is you will stumble and fall. It'll be all kinds of trouble when you get into the next place because you didn't finish the work here in this place, and you weren't prepared for the next place. See, everywhere we find ourselves is a preparation for the next place, so don't resist it. Embrace it. Okay, and so God wants you to be faithful right where you're at to lead well, because the door to the next place, the God's purpose for your life is going to open as you finish this place you're in. Okay, so let me say it right like this: has anyone ever had a prophecy spoken over them? I'm sure we have. Many of us have, and I've had many prophecies spoken. But let me tell you this. Sometimes we get so excited about a prophecy and we don't understand this. A prophecy is the end of a matter, okay? They're giving it to you and I want you to imagine a whiteboard, okay? Here's the prophecy, but here's the fulfillment of it. And the process is in between. So we want to be right here. When I was, it was prophesied that I was going to pastor, that was over here, but I was over here. So there was a process to get to this place. Okay, so we want this, but we got to go through all of this. And if you don't embrace the place you're at right now, you will never, ever get to this place that God prophesied over your life. It's a picture of what he has assigned you to do, called you to do. But you got to go through the process, okay? So all that to say, what I want you to do is picture this, okay? We're going to picture this, and then we'll close for prayer, and then we'll come back. I want you to picture yourself in a room, okay? And I want you to see in that room, you're standing at the door. But right in front of you, as you go through the room, is another door, okay? On that far side wall is another door. Now, I want you to think about that door is going to open you to where you think is your destination, okay? On the other side of that place is your destination. Now, picture yourself in that room, and I want you to see that door on that opposite side, and I want you to know that that door, when you open it, it leads you to fulfilling his call and purpose for your life, okay? But I want you to also now look and see that that door is locked. That door is locked. You can't go in. But what I want you to understand is that you are in a room that has purpose right now. Stop looking at the next room, because this purpose, your purpose, his purpose is supposed to take place right now in the room you're at. Wherever you're at in life, look at this room. Now, look around the room that you're standing in. Look at all the work that has to be done. See, if we look in this room right now where we're at, this room takes work, okay? Now, I want you to think about it. Somebody has to come in here and vacuum every so often. Somebody has to come in and probably dust. They have to come in and set up all the things that are in here. They have to make sure everything is running properly. Turn the heat on, turn it off. Everything has, there's things that have to be done in this room. And they matter. Now, what I want you to know is on the other side, maybe is a bigger room that you got to maintain. But if you're not maintaining this room, you're not ready for that room. You can't handle that room. See, you see what I'm saying? I've learned this the hard way. And I was telling the people, I said, when I was, Chris and I were first married, we were living in a small house, okay? And I loved the small house. It was very sweet. It was 900 square foot, okay? And we had two, yes, and we had two kids, and but it felt tight, okay? And all I dreamed about was a big house. I was like, I want to get in a big house and have all this space and everything. Well, praise God, my parents one day, the door opened. God opened the door. My parents were actually moving, and they offered to give us their house. And it was 3,000 square feet, okay? So I was moving from a 900 square foot home to 3,000. What I want you to understand is in that 900 square foot home, I had finally gotten to the place I could maintain keeping that house up. Now I was keeping the house clean. I was keeping it clean. For it took me a long time to get there, okay? And I was keeping this house clean. In the front yard, we were mowing it. It was beautiful grass. I had actually planted flowers, and I do not have a green thumb, okay? I mean, literally, it was beautiful, okay? We'd actually painted the outside. We'd done all this work. Now, the backyard was a different story because we had dogs, and those dogs were running that ground down, and there was no grass back there. It was not being taken care of. It was a mess. But from the front yard to the back door of that house, it was being kept and maintained. We moved to the 3,000 square foot home, and what I want to tell you is I was in over my head. It was terrible, okay? So let me say this. What I thought I wanted actually was more than I could handle. I wasn't ready for it. I was not prepared for it. I got into that house, and basically, I was able to just keep my head above water, okay? The outside couldn't even be tended to because I couldn't even hardly take care of the inside. I'm telling you, it was a disaster, okay? It was a hot mess. And so I'm telling you, I finally got to where I could manage a little bit, but we just moved again. And I want you to know, I never got the yard really back to where I had flowers outside, nothing. See, what I want you to understand is you've got to be prepared. See, I believe God was saying, you ready? Tammy, you think you're ready for a 3,000 square foot home? All right, I'll put you in one. I'm going to give you one, Tammy. And I'll show you, you're not ready to maintain that place. Now, God in his great mercy is taking us through the seasons we're in. Okay, let me say this to you. Don't resist the place you're in. Embrace it. See, it actually has great purpose. And God is doing a great work in you right now. And so we're going to close and take prayer, but please come back because I'm telling you, God is going to open our eyes to some things that have to take place so we can get to the fulfillment of his call and his destiny for our life. Amen.
I have a praise report for little Emily Lloyd. She's the young daughter of Stephen and Miranda Lloyd.
Okay.
She had surgery on her vocal cords.
Yes.
She's feeling better because she was dealing with some fever and stuff last
week.
Yes,
okay.
She is feeling better. They meet with her ENT today for a checkup and to discuss scheduling the next surgery. Because I think they were supposed to do another surgery Friday, but they've decided with the fevers and stuff to hold off on that.
Okay.
So they're hoping to be released from the hospital on Friday. They also have other young children at home. So it's
okay. Yes, that's hard.
And we want to continue prayers for Monica and her family.
Yeah.
And we want to continue prayers for Stephen Jenkins and his family.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the throne. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful just to be able to come so freely into your presence. And God, we live in your presence. We live and have our being. We live and move, it says, and have our being in you. But Father, to bring these requests to you, Father, so easily is such a blessing. God, we know that we're coming before you knowing that you're not only going to hear us, but you're going to do something about these situations. And so, Father, right now, we want to thank you for the praise report for Emily. God, we give you glory that you went before her, all is well. But Father, you know that she's going for a checkup, and God, you know she's got another surgery coming up. And Father, you know there are children at home, and I remember the days of our own son when he was battling cancer and going in, and we had our daughter as well, and it just, she had school, and there was just so many things to think about, and it can be very overwhelming. So, Father, I lift this family before you, and Father, because you've called us to bless the people, God, we bless this family right now in the name of Jesus. We bless them with provision, financial provision for everything, every need be met in Jesus' name. Father, we bless this family with peace that passes all understanding. Father, drive out all anxiety, all stress, all worry. We bless them with that peace in Jesus' name. We bless Emily as she goes forward with a wonderful checkup, that we bless her with the good news. We say, daughter, go forth. We bless you with the angels of the Lord going with you. You shall go in and have surgery and come out, and you shall be whole in Jesus' name. We say by the stripes on Christ's back, we were healed. You are healed, Emily, and you shall walk in wholeness and health in Jesus' name. God, we thank you and praise you for the things that you've done for Emily, and we bless her to go forth and fulfill her purpose and destiny that you've called for her life. We bless her with that. We call that to come forth, that she shall live and go forth and do all that God called her to do in Jesus' name. Father, we just bless Monica and her family. We say, go forth, daughter, in peace. The Lord is with you. You're not alone. She knows that. Her whole family knows it. But we bless them with the wisdom of God, with the counsel of the Lord, with the strength of the Lord right now. Go forth and accomplish all that God has put on your table today. He shall carry you through it all. We bless them with rest. Okay, the Lord said you need rest. We bless their family with rest right now in Jesus' name. I thank you. I thank you, Father, that you're giving them a supernatural rest, because sometimes we got to keep going even when we can't, we feel like we can't sit down. God will give us supernatural rest. So we bless them with supernatural rest right now in Jesus' name. And right now we lift up the continued prayers for Stephen Jenkins and their family. God, we bless them with peace. God, we bless them with your purpose, your destiny for them. God, we bless them with just comfort. Lord, you are the comforter. And so, God, we thank you for their family. We thank you for Stephen. God, we bless their family in Jesus' name. And God, we thank you that, Lord, you're ministering to them in the midst of everything they're going through. And we loose God's good plan and good purposes for their family right now. God, your will be done in all of that. Father, your plans are for good. That's what your word says. So we loose the good plans of God right now in their household. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.